leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show on this November 22nd, 2015, the 52nd anniversary of the JFK assassination. That taught many of us a lot that we needed to know about our government and the aftermath, the phony investigation. Of course, that created the term conspiracy theorist. Anyone who questions the government's official story, no matter how impossible or improbable, you are a conspiracy theorist, because nobody believed that Lee Harvey Oswald, anybody that looked at the facts, nobody really believed that Lee Harvey Oswald did that by himself. But today we're going to be talking primarily about the assassination of the West. Our government and people who are running it, the dark side of our government, have created a situation in the Middle East with their Arabic allies like Saudi Arabia. They've created a situation that they're now using to offer us a solution. A solution that will do nothing but pour gasoline on this fire that's going there, and the fire that they've started in our own country out of fear and paranoia, uncertainty and doubt. That's what they use to take away your individual liberty. We're going to talk about the state of that today. We're also going to talk with, in the second hour, a pastor who had a video that went viral talking about discernment. Should we really bring these refugees in? Are we being un-Christian if we refuse to bring in the refugees that we have admittedly created? How do we address this? Now, Donald Trump has an interesting way to address it. And I should say before I tell you what he had to say, that it is now within 8 days we have seen terrorism and concern about terrorism become a top priority for Americans in terms of who they say they want to support for president. And I understand that the entire presidential horse race is a rigged election to get your hopes up that you're going to change something by electing a new dictator. And that's really what these people are running for. You need to be honest about your about what these people are saying. And I'm going to show you why I say that. But, of course, it is a proxy for the issues that we're going to discuss. And so that's why we cover the presidential election, to give you a broader understanding of what's going on, but also to talk about these issues and proxy. Now, in these last 10 days or so since this terrorist event, we have seen concern for terrorism go up to 28% of Americans now calling it their top issue versus 33% who say it's the economy. The economy is always at the top. Remember, it was back during the Clinton administration. It's very true. It said, it's the economy, stupid. Focus on the economy. That's what people are always concerned about. But now they're nearly as concerned about terrorism. Understand that war is an economic issue. And so are open borders. Importing workers, exporting jobs, massively overloading the welfare state. As at the same time, you're creating a warfare state. Those are all economic issues. But people are concerned for their immediate safety. They're concerned they're going to be shot down in the theaters and the shopping malls of the streets. And so you have Donald Trump come out. We have a article from Kurt Nimmo from a couple of days ago. I want to point out, Trump says the surveillance state will combat Islam. Trump said security is going to rule, quote unquote, in a Trump administration. He says we're going to have to do things that we never did before. When he responded when asked if he would permit the use of warrantless searches at the expense of the Fourth Amendment. He said, and some people are going to be upset about it, but I think that now everybody is feeling that security is going to rule and certain things will be done that we never thought would happen in this country in terms of information and learning about the enemy. So we're going to have to do certain things that were frankly unthinkable a year ago. Now that's pretty scary, because there's a lot of stuff that our government has been doing for quite a long time that is unthinkable as far as I'm concerned. And so for somebody to come out, of course, that's the thing about Donald Trump, is he's very candid about what he's going to do. He doesn't mince words. He doesn't try to hide his agenda. But it is a scary agenda nevertheless. And understand that when they start to look at the Muslims as people that they need to get this information on, they're going to be coming after you next. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk. First, we're going to have an announcement from Alex Jones about our Hillary Clinton contest, the Hilarity Clinton contest. You can win $5,000 for first prize. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Smashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we've seen a lot of attacks on free speech. And everybody knows that I was against the Republicans trying to put, you know, parental warnings on music because it's up to parents to decide what their kids listen to and what they watch. The government shouldn't be involved. And we always said that could lead to censorship. I am not partisan about this. I'm a libertarian. But man, the Democrats have gone like 1,000 light years worse trying to ban the terms mother and father or boy or girl because it might hurt a transgendered person. Whoever said that? Jerry Seinfeld and others have come out and said they won't even go to colleges and do their comedy routine because people flip out on them. We have seen so many cases of this where political correctness has become a serious tyranny in this nation. And it's been directed not just in the United States, but in Europe as well, where if you criticize open borders from Syria with all these militants coming in and blowing stuff up, Facebook is shutting you down. The police are even raiding people's houses for their speech. And now Hillary Clinton has sent her campaign and had high-level campaign officials call the Laugh Factory undoubtedly the most famous comedy hall, comedy club in the world. I mean, you name it. So many of the greats have come from there. Speaking of, you know, Jerry Seinfeld, his own daughter showed up this year and they said, we're moving back to New York so you can see more boys. She's 14. She said, Dad, boys and girls together, sexist. Just the word boy and girl is sexist. This is by design. Hillary has had her campaign threatened to, quote, bankrupt them, shut them down. You've got to read these articles. Hillary Clinton's Laugh Factory threats. Why did her campaign want comedians' personal contact information so they could threaten them? This is the reality of what's going on, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And if they can shut down comedy, they can shut down any free speech. Going back thousands of years ago in medieval Europe or even Rome, the person that had the most free speech other than the king was the jester, because they could say things nobody else was allowed to. Musicians that would go around and play their three-string instruments would also have ballads against corruption. This goes back to the time of Robin Hood. But now Hillary Clinton, across the board, has said that Bernie Sanders is sexist because Bernie Sanders has criticized her. This is the insanity. So I don't care if you're left, right, center, libertarian, black, white, Jewish, German, Chinese, Mexican, or purple. Everyone should see this as a major threat because they are intimidating TV shows, writers, you name it, to self-censor, to control what they're saying. And this is the greatest attack I've ever seen on free speech. This is 21st century book burning. In fact, I want to go live and walk around some of the studio and talk about this crap with people because I personally have had enough of this. I have made it my business to make fun of politicians. I've made it my business, too, to criticize them and basically call him frauds. When Bush lied about Iraq and WMDs, I called him a piece of crap. I mean, we got him right here as the Joker. He's a clown. Will I get shut down? Will I get arrested for this? I mean, if I want to throw darts at a picture of Hillary Clinton, it's my right as an American and as a free person to do it. I mean, here's Barack Obama right here. I got him as a clown. Is that okay with you? It's about being able to make fun of who you want as long as you don't hurt somebody else, okay? I mean, look at this crap. Look at this. People make fun of the Democratic Party, political cartoons. You know, call them a bunch of jackasses, call the Republicans elephants. That's what it's all about. We have unmasked Hillary Clinton. And if we want to call her a lying, demonic corporate witch who helped give the banks unlimited banker bailout money, then you know what? We can do it. You got that, Hillary? We're sick of your crap. Free speech needs to be protected in this nation. If we want to talk bad about the Lord and Savior Barack Obama, bought and paid for by crony capitalists, we're going to do it. We're going to do it all we want. And we don't want any harm to come to Obama. That'd make him a martyr. But we're going to destroy his name and what he stands for and the frauds he pushes. In fact, let's go talk to some more of the crew. I don't even know where I'm going with this other than the fact we're going to resist it. And that's what this comes down to. If you're sick of this crap, then take action yourself and engage in the First Amendment and free speech. We're announcing a $5,000 contest that runs until December 21st. You've got a month to produce a video and upload it on YouTube and one other platform where you make fun of Hillary Clinton and her policies or how she looks or what she stands for or any of it. The truth is, with the new media, the system can't control everybody. It wants to have select comedy on Comedy Central with Jon Stewart, you know, with his fake liberal garbage, or with people on Saturday Night Live. But then no one else can engage in it because the political bosses will intimidate you. And that's because they know Hillary is a joke. And she personally, it's been documented, can't handle criticism. Well, she certainly shouldn't be president. I've been made fun of all over Comedy Central. I've been made fun of all over. I love it because people will come find the real me. And I will fight to the death for their right on Comedy Central and Bill Maher on HBO to make statements about me that aren't true. To make statements about me saying, Alex Jones thinks cancer is good for you. Wasn't true, but I can now counter them. They're desperate. But see, they want to restrict what I have to say. If the left doesn't stand up to this, if the right doesn't stand up to this, with the persecution of the Tea Party, the persecution with the IRS of Christian organizations and veterans groups and gun groups, we're going to lose it all. If they would have arrested Michael Moore for his documentary, I would have come out against it. I would have stood for him, but Michael Moore didn't stand up for Dinesh D'Souza, who served 9 months in prison because his film was almost as big as Michael Moore's. This is dangerous. This is out of control, and it's got to stop. So in the next few hours, it'll be up on Infowars.com. And we're going to post this video as well so that you can go there, be part of it, make your video, whether it's low-tech or high-tech, whether it's sophisticated or not. Let's stand up for free speech and free expression, or this country's gone. They're getting rid of the 10th Amendment, the 9th Amendment, the 4th Amendment, the 2nd Amendment. They're coming after all of it because it's there to protect us. And once the big multinational corporations with their TPPs and the rest of it get it in place, there's no checks and balances to protect us. And then America is just one more country. The rule book in America, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence is what makes us special. And this country didn't even have that much resources compared to a Mexico or a continent like Africa. But we became the wealthiest because we had a little bit of freedom. We weren't perfect. I went and saw Tom Hanks' movie, Bridge of Spies, and I'm not plagiarizing it because they're plagiarizing just an American statement. He says, hey, to the CIA guy that wants him to violate attorney-client privilege, he says, you're German, right? You know, Hoffman's your last name. You know, I'm Irish, both sides. But no matter what color we are, where we came from, what makes us American is the rule book. Because if you don't have that rule book, it's just more dirt. And then we're like North Korea. Then there's no floor, there's no ceiling, there's no rule book, there's no rudder, and we're a bunch of slaves. So that's what it comes down to. We are going to play these entries, the good ones, the bad ones, and the ugly ones, on the air. We're going to promote these. So regardless, you're going to win being part of this contest, standing up for free speech, standing up and letting them know when they try to silence somebody, when they try to restrict free speech, when they try to shut somebody up, we're all going to stand up together. No matter if it's liberal speech, conservative speech, libertarian speech, communist speech, free market speech, Muslim speech, Christian speech, atheist speech, we're going to stand up for free speech because we are the Renaissance, we are the Enlightenment, we are going to lead the world out of the dark age into some incredible times, but not if they can have this concerted effort to shut everything down. So, first prize, $5,000. Second prize, $1,000. Third prize, Hillary for Prison t-shirts from InfoWarsStore.com and the Hillary laughing pin. Exercise your rights, like muscles, or lose them. It's up to you now if you're going to stand up and let this garbage happen. And certainly, doing this contest won't save the world. But laying down will ensure we lose. Standing up is the spirit that will spread in the animating contest of liberty and set brush fires in the minds of men and women everywhere to counter this garbage. It's happening in America. They're putting out national polls about arresting people that don't believe in man-made climate change. It's tyranny. It's happening. They're trying to ban brown bags in Seattle, saying they're racist. Wake up out of the cult. Wake up out of the trance. Say no. Resist. Take action. I'm Alex Jones signing off for InfoWars.com. Now get out there and exercise your First Amendment and make fun of the witch, Hillary Clinton.
Exactly. It's going to be a great contest. I look forward to seeing the entries. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm David Knight. We're here live. We're going to be talking about real threats and perceived head fakes. How can you tell the difference? How can you tell what you should really do in response to what we see is with terrorism? We'll be right back. Stay with us. the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. We're here live, and that's the music from Monty Python's Holy Grail. I thought of this when I saw on the Drudge Report this picture of the Iranian guard going after this model of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And, of course, it was straight out of Monty Python. Pull that picture up for people to see this. They had this picture up on the Drudge Report. And you see a line of guys. I'll describe it for people who are listening on the radio. A line of guys walking along with their flag, and there's a fake mosque. Now, what makes this even funnier is that it's actually a picture of the Dome of the Rock. They actually built a fake Dome of the Rock model there, and they've got a painted sheet that looks like the wall of the Dome of the Rock. And, of course, that's the mosque that has the gold dome. It's next to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, but it isn't the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And, of course, that's what they were talking about, simulating the capture of Jerusalem's Al-Aqsa Mosque. And you can see those people there. And when I looked at that picture, I thought, okay, which one of these guys has the coconuts, you know, to sound like the horse going on there? But it was a perfect metaphor because, quite frankly, the mindset of the Islamic jihadis is straight out of medieval times. They still see themselves in this fight with the Crusaders. That was their rhetoric when they attacked in Paris, of course. And if we go down and look at another one of these pictures, go down to the one where it shows they dropped bombs around this attack, this fake attack of the Al-Aqsa Mosque or the Dome of the Rock. I don't know, because they were very confused about that as well. Just like the Monty Python story. They don't know where they are exactly, what they're looking for exactly. And if you look at this picture, this is a pullback, a wide angle shot, and you can see everything is burned out, smoking, and desolate, except for their little fake model of a mosque right there in the center. And I said, boy, this says it all. This is the mindset of the jihadi right there. That's the little fake situation they want to create. And of course, there was another reminder on the Daily Mail. A historian said, for centuries, Islam and Christianity were locked in a brutal conflict that most have forgotten. The horror, a top historian argues, is that for jihadis, it's as real today as it was in the Middle Ages. That's precisely the way they see themselves. France was condemned in their terms. They called it the capital of the cross. I mean, really, does anybody in the West think that Paris is the center of Christianity? Nobody in their right mind would think Paris is a Christian city that embraces Christian values, and it is certainly not the capital of the cross, whatever they mean by that. I mean, some people would think the Vatican would be, but certainly not Paris. The jihadis see themselves as being engaged in a war as old as Islam itself, a struggle for global supremacy against Christianity. And let's understand, we talk about the term martyr. That's a Greek term. It meant witness. That's what martyr means, witness. And, of course, it became synonymous with religion, first with Christianity, because the witnesses to what Christ had done were willing to die rather than recant on what they had seen. So they began to call them martyrs because they're witnesses who would not renege on what they knew to be true. And we've gone from somebody who is willing to die for the truth to people, now the term martyr becomes people who are willing to kill innocent people to further their violent religion. And that's exactly what's going on here. But what do we need to be concerned about? We've got a situation now in Brussels where they have the entire country, not the entire country, Brussels is a city in Belgium. They have the entire city locked down like it was some kind of a school. Of course, they're canceling school. And they're going to extend that. They've done that for the weekend. They're going to extend it to tomorrow. There's a story that was up a couple of days ago. Brussels, where 500 euros buys a gun in 30 minutes, has become Europe's jihadi capital. And of course, this is the place that our reporters went to, and they were essentially told they better get out of there. They were threatened. They were watched. People were giving them signs. And it is now known that one particular neighborhood, especially in the capital city, Brussels, of Belgium, is really jihadi central. That's what people are calling it. It's a massive number of violent extremists that are there. Of course, you can't call them that. If you talk about radical Islam, of course, there was an exercise at the last Democrat debate, and all three of the candidates failed. They could not pronounce the words radical Islam. It just wasn't in their vocabulary. They said that would not be helpful to say that. And you have to understand that both in this country with the Southern Poverty Law Center and in Europe, The think tank there that runs the Strong Cities Network, they don't use the term radical Islam either, except to talk about the people who use that term are the people that we really need to be afraid of. You don't need to be afraid of the radical Islamicists. You need to be afraid of the people who talk about the radical Islamicists. Those are the ones that need to be watched. They need to be censored, and ultimately they will need to be arrested. And, you know, when I saw this story, I thought about the campaign that's been conducted beginning last Monday. It's almost a week that they've been going with this. A lot of major news media outlets, including Fox News, are telling us that the NRA is out of line to oppose keeping people who are on a government watch list from getting guns. So if you're on a government watch list, isn't it amazing that people who are on a terror watch list can still buy guns? And they go back and say, well, in the last 10 years, there's been about 2,000 people who were on the terror watch list that were able to purchase guns. Well, they also had their backgrounds checked, didn't they? And the question we need to ask is, what did they do to get on that list? Do they know that they're on that list? Do they have a due process proceeding that's guaranteed by the Sixth Amendment? You know, there was a thing called the Star Chamber in England, and that's why we have the Sixth Amendment. In the Star Chamber, you could be accused and convicted of crimes in a secret proceeding that you knew nothing about. Now we have that. We have the FISA court that allows dragnet surveillance of the United States, but we also have these things called watch lists or no-fly lists. And if you're put on that, you don't know that you're put on it. They don't tell you until, you know, you're blocked from doing anything. When you look at these watch lists, the no-fly lists, the NDAA indefinite detention without trial that was put in by Obama a couple of years ago, we should be very concerned about that, not about people who were vetted, who had a background check for real and were allowed to buy a gun. None of those people ever committed a terrorist attack. That's what Fox News won't tell you. That's what the New York Daily News won't tell you. But they show pictures, the Daily News shows pictures of Wayne LaPierre with the NRA saying, this is a jihadi extremist. See, they're the dangerous people, the craziest man on earth. They put another picture of the head of the NRA up and called him the craziest man on earth because he thinks that we have something called a constitution, that you should be confronted with your accusers, that you should have a public trial, that you should have witnesses that you can cross-examine with a lawyer representing you or do it yourself. That's a dangerous idea in this day and age. And so is the First Amendment. We have people who are coming out against the First Amendment. We'll talk about this. One of the things that I find the most dangerous about this is the reaction of some of our top politicians. You know, until just recently, Ben Carson was the second in the polls. Of course, Donald Trump has been and still is the first. And so when Trump reacted to Islam and he says, security is going to rule, quote unquote, security is going to rule under a Trump administration. And then you had Ben Carson come back and say, I hope we have a database on everybody. If we don't, we're not doing a good job. See, we should be very concerned about that mindset. When we come back, we're going to talk about addressing the real problem instead of addressing a phony problem. We do have some real problems. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Stay with us.
Listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this November 22nd, 2015, the 52nd anniversary of the JFK assassination. We were just talking about the real dangers and the dangers that are not real about Islam. You know, we looked at this picture of these clowns out there in Iran, talking about how they were going to attack and take over the Al-Aqsa Mosque, but they were actually even fighting against a mock-up of the Dome of the Rock. How ridiculous that was, how much that looked like a Monty Python Holy Grail episode. But there are real dangers, of course. We saw what happened in Paris. People really died there. A lot of people died there. There's also this story from Friday, Muslims attack a Christian with a pickaxe for leaving Islam that Kit Daniels had. And this was in Britain. A former Muslim attacked with a pickaxe handle because he converted to Christianity. He's 49 years old. He had a broken kneecap, a fractured forearm, a concussion. After hooded Muslims punched, kicked, and struck him with a pickaxe handle outside of his home. Now, he was somebody who had been in a documentary talking about how he had converted from Islam to Christianity. And since that 2008 documentary, he has been the focus of attacks from Muslims in Britain. Since it was released, he and his family have suffered thousands of dollars worth of damage to their vehicles, to their property, and then they beat him in this video that you can see right there. And, of course, the comment that Kit had, and it's a good comment, this incident is what happens when a country not only prevents citizens from using guns for self-defense, but rolls out the red carpet for radical extremists to flood the country. So when we look at this attack on the phony mosque and these guys running around with flags and handles and presumably some partners there banging coconuts together to sound like horses, when you look at that, it is laughable. That's the state of the Iranian army. We don't have anything to worry about from the Iranian army, but we do have a lot to worry about from a massive influx of migrants that we cannot and are not even interested in vetting, because that is what we can bring upon ourselves if we do this, if we follow the same course that Europe has. And of course, Obama is talking about that's exactly what he wants to do. ISIS, remember, said that there are 4,000 jihadis in Europe. That's a very believable number. There have been 5 million people that they've brought in as quote-unquote refugees. Now, that would mean that that was only 0.8% of those refugees that came in that would be jihadis. If only 0.8% of them were jihadis, then they would have 4,000, not a half dozen like attacked Paris, but 4,000 throughout Europe. That's something for us all to be concerned about. That's something we need to be concerned about here in America as well. So they bring up these situations and say, don't be worried about this thing over here, which is a real threat, bringing massive numbers of people. We don't know who they are in areas that we have basically kicked the anthill repeatedly. Obama's foreign policy, drone assassinations, invasions, bombings of areas to make the people hate us and then bring them in here saying that they're refugees. Why don't we just stop that? But instead of stopping that, we are offered phony solutions that are going to only make things worse. I've mentioned a couple of times what Donald Trump says he would do with the surveillance state. He would ramp it up and he would say, we're going to do things that were frankly unthinkable a few years ago. Yeah, I'm sure we will. Whether he is president or whether somebody else is president, they all seem to be going down this same path, except for Rand Paul. I mentioned that Ben Carson got his licks in there, too, not wanting to look weak. He said, yeah, hopefully we have a database on every citizen who is already here. Yeah, Ben, they do. They do have a database on every one of us. And I've got a problem with that. And I've got a problem with people like Ben Carson and Donald Trump who cheerlead for that, who say we're going to have special IDs. Understand, the Republican Party has been trying to sell the idea of a national ID card, a biometric ID card they can track everybody with. They've been trying to sell that for a very long time, usually using open borders, usually using illegal immigrants to sell that idea. They're trying to sell, the Republicans are now trying to sell in some corners, gun control based on the fear of people on a terror watch list, never talking about how anybody gets on a secret watch list, how you get off of it. Where's your due process? They always create a problem, then they offer us a solution that only makes things worse, that doesn't even address the root cause of the problem. Rand Paul, however, did address the root cause of the problem. He seems to be the only one to really understand what is going on here. In this article from Steve Watson, Rand Paul said, cut off arms sales to Saudis until they take in the refugees. He said the Gulf states support gasoline on the fire. They have not taken in a single refugee. And here's what he had to say. He said, one of the biggest supporters of Sunni terrorism in the world is Saudi Arabia. Qatar is up there. UAE is up there. Sometimes government, sometimes private donors. What I would say is no more sales of any arms to these countries until they start accepting refugees. Yeah, exactly. Where's their compassion? We are shamed. We're called racist. We're called unchristian people. We're told that we have absolutely no compassion if we don't want to open our borders to the refugees that Obama's foreign policy is creating more of every day. And of course, the foreign policy of our Arab allies in the area, people like Saudi Arabia. So instead of stopping the war, we need to flood our country with refugees that do not want to assimilate. That is nothing short of an invasion. Now, Rand Paul also had this to say. He said, you don't have the right to be an American citizen. That's important to say. We need to underscore that. It's as if today, out of political correctness, we're told that everybody in the world has the right to be an American citizen. No, you don't. You don't have a right to be an American citizen. You don't have a right to a free education at the expense of people who are American citizens, who are American taxpayers. We need to say that loudly and clearly, and finally somebody did. Rand Paul did. He said, most people don't realize this, but refugees who come here, and they're immediately put on welfare. Precisely. And he says, there will always be those who advocate giving up liberty in exchange for somehow getting more security. But what we found is when we've allowed warrantless searches, we didn't catch any terrorists. Exactly. And of course, the people who were saying that are the rest of the GOP field and the rest of the Democrats who are saying this. He's the only candidate who's running for president that is telling people the truth. And so who is really sponsoring ISIS? This article by Michael Krieger that came out today, he breaks that down in detail. Yes, it is our allies. It is Saudi Arabia. It is Turkey. It is other Arab allies. And he points out this. He says, with the way the French government is cracking down on civil liberties of its own citizens, you'd think the general public were the ones who were supporting and funding ISIS, as opposed to the French government's allies, who are the ones who are actually supporting ISIS. You understand? We have our own governments who are, and our allies, quote unquote, who are funding these wars, who are funding ISIS as their jihadi surrogates, and yet they crack down on us. That's precisely what's going on in Brussels, where they have the entire city locked down for this weekend. They're going to be extending it to tomorrow. They're going to be closing schools, universities, kindergartens. The metro will be shuttered all weekend. They will remain closed for the beginning of the week. We don't know how long that's going to be, because now they've got everybody truly afraid. Now they can just say, we saw a terrorist somewhere, whether they did or not, and they can lock down an entire city. That's precisely where the governments want to be. They want you to be so afraid that they can lock you down, that they can declare martial law at any point in time. And that's what we are witnessing now in Europe. An Australian politician said, don't adopt our gun control laws. We are a nation of victims. You cannot own a gun for self-defense, but the criminals, of course, still have guns. And that's what we see at the epicenter of the European jihadis. And of course, that is Brussels, and in particular, one neighborhood in Brussels where Joe Biggs and Michael Zimmerman went to film. That's the Molenbeek neighborhood. That neighborhood has been the heart of a thriving black market where a high-powered weapon can be bought in record time. And this is a story from Quartz. They say that for anywhere from $535 U.S. dollars to $1,000 U.S. dollars, you can get a military weapon in half an hour. So you don't need to have background checks if you're a criminal. Background checks. Criminals don't use the background check process. That's why the 2,000 people that Fox News wants you to be so afraid about that were on a secret watch list, that's why none of them were engaging in terrorist attacks. Because criminals and terrorists don't use gun laws. Gun prohibition doesn't affect them. Stay with us. We're going to be right back, and we're going to be talking to a pastor who's going to talk about the moral issues with this refugee crisis.
You have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. And we have played earlier in this hour, we played Alex's announcement of a new contest that is going to be a comedy contest for Hillary Clinton. She doesn't seem to have a sense of humor when people talk about her. She's threatened the one of the biggest comedy clubs in the United States, the Laugh Factory in L.A., threatened to shut them down if they didn't take down a comedy video where people were making fun of Hillary Clinton. Of course, I did a video about it as well, pointing out that she knows precisely, because she's a scholar, and when it comes to Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, she knows that rule number 5 is nothing is more devastating or a more potent weapon than ridicule. So she doesn't want any ridicule. So in that spirit, we have put out a contest to invite you to ridicule Hillary Clinton, and there is a $5,000 first prize in that contest. There's also some additional second, third place prizes on that as well. I would encourage you to also take a look at InfoWarsLife.com. We have a special there that we're offering our listeners right now, Knockout, at 15% off. It's something I often need help to fall asleep, working long hours, drinking lots of coffee, getting not much exercise. And Knockout is very effective for me. It's the same price as supplements that only contain melatonin, but it includes valerian root extract, melatonin, chamomile flower extract, hops flower extract, L-tryptophan. You know how well turkey makes you fall asleep when it comes to Thanksgiving, and other key ingredients. Also, this week, we're going to be having daily surprise sales leading up to Thanksgiving. We're going to have some of our hottest items. We're going to be unveiling new items as well. We're going to have things like stocking stuffers, prepper items. We're going to have, of course, health supplements. You can see those at InfoWarsStore.com. That's our new design with many new features. Or you can go to the classic website, store.infowars.com. That's the classic InfoWars store experience. Either way, these sale items are going to be for limited time. They're going to be limited quantity. So if you want to know when these daily sale specials are going to be coming out, you can be the first one to find out about it if you sign up for our free newsletter. That'll be the earliest and quickest way that you can find out about that, because they're not only going to be limited time, but many of these things will be limited quantity as well. When we sell out, that will be it. So there's going to be a lot of different types of items, anything from little knickknacks to pretty serious prepper items to things like health supplements that you'll find there. And again, that's going to be throughout this week. So look for those daily sales. And if you want to get a heads up to know about those early, sign up for the free newsletter. Again, Knockout right now is 15% off, and that's at InfoWarsLife.com. We've had a lot of stories talking about what's going on in Europe with the terrorist attack this last week that has gone to nearly a tie with the economy in terms of the concern of voters as to what their top issue is. And, of course, it has pushed things like the globalist climate treaty that is coming up. Let's push that off of the front pages if it wasn't even ever really there as far as the mainstream media goes. But it is focusing everybody's attention away from that, away from the secret trade treaties that would also usher in globalism. That's what we need to be concerned about, really, in the long-term view. That is the thing that people need to really understand, the damage that is going to be done to us in our economy by both of those treaties, and also the international mechanisms that this sets up for multinational government. But of course, those issues have been pushed to the side. And of course, we don't want to talk about how we really started those wars. Who's really supporting ISIS? Who is on ISIS's side? Of course, as Putin has attacked ISIS in Syria, it has made it even more obvious to people who are paying attention that we are supporting them. But Michael Krieger has a very good story today. He's talking about the real allies of ISIS. And he points out that France is bringing in new legislation extending the temporary state of emergency now to 3 months. We've got Brussels has been locked down this entire weekend, and they're still extending it for a manhunt. These new laws will grant authorities to new powers to carry out search and seizure of devices, to also block websites. But the reality is, he points out, that it's Turkey and our Arab allies in the Gulf states that are the real players behind ISIS. And you're not going to hear anything about that in most places. They had the Turkish newspaper, today's Zaman, pointed out that more than 100,000 fake Turkish passports have been given to ISIS. And they have been turning a blind eye to the fact that Turkey is the major consumer of oil from the ISIS oil fields, giving them an immense financial aid. Not having an economic blockade of ISIS, we would never do that, would we? I mean, we have economic blockades of our enemies in a heartbeat. We create no-fly zones, but not for ISIS. For ISIS, they trade with them. They trade with the enemy. They give them a massive amount of money. And if you look at the map, you can see that ISIS is coming down from the border with Syria and Turkey, flowing down like tentacles into Syria, going through the Kurdish area, through the PPK, fighting them as well because Turkey doesn't like them. This is a surrogate fighting force for Turkey, for NATO, for the CIA. They go on to point out the former ISIS fighter told Newsweek that Turkey was allowing ISIS trucks to cross the border. He said ISIS militants would travel freely through Turkey in a convoy of trucks, and they would stop at safe houses along the way. ISIS commanders told us to fear nothing at all because there was full cooperation with the Turks. Meanwhile, NATO leaders feign outrage and learned liberal pundits, and I would say not only just liberal pundits, but also conservative pundits, and not only pundits, but presidential candidates, continue to scratch their heads in bewilderment as to ISIS's extraordinary resilience and their inexorable expansion. How could this be? How could this little force be so resilient? How could they be expanding everywhere? Well, because we're arming them. And because we don't want the Russians to attack them. It couldn't be more obvious. We've even had congressional testimony. It goes back to September 2014, where General Martin Dempsey was asked by Senator Lindsey Graham whether he knew of any major Arab ally that embraced ISIL. And General Dempsey says, I know major Arab allies who fund them. Of course. We all know. This is the open secret that the mainstream media won't talk about. But if we say that we don't want to bring in unvetted refugees into the United States, as Obama does, then we're told that we're helping ISIL. This is what Obama said today in an article that's up on Infowars.com. Obama says GOP attacks on refugees help ISIL. No, actually, it's Obama's drone attacks on these nations that helps ISIS. He says prejudice and discrimination help ISIL and undermine our national security. No, it's actually murder, assassination, invasion, and war that undermine our security. And Obama has done that as much or more than any Republican. It's not prejudice and discrimination that is behind this. Now, in the next hour, we're going to be joined by a pastor who had a video that went viral talking about this, talking about discernment, understanding what the real risks to us are. And as I pointed out earlier in the show, when we showed that comical farce that was the training to take over the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Israel that we saw the Iranian people doing, I said, you know, that is not a threat to us. It's not even a threat to Israel. We need to understand, though, that bringing these people in by the millions is truly a threat to us. It truly is a way to erase our culture. When we say that, we're called racists, we're called xenophobes or whatever. Let me point out that Islam is not a race. Syria is not a race. Okay? The Bible talks about nations, tongues, and tribes. This is about cultures. Whose culture is going to be dominant? And the Muslims make no bones about the fact that they want their culture to be dominant. We have a article on the Washington Post that just came out yesterday. In the first majority Muslim U.S. city, residents are tense about its future. And this is a city in Michigan, Hamtramck, Michigan, that's a suburb of Detroit. They say earlier this month, the blue-collar city that has been home to Polish Catholic immigrants and their descendants for more than a century became what demographers think is the first jurisdiction in the nation to elect a majority Muslim council. Now, they point out that this has had some real concrete changes. We're told that if you're concerned about Sharia law being established by Muslim majorities, you're a xenophobe, you're an Islamophobe. But for one example, you cannot get a liquor license within 500 feet of the four mosques that are in the town, this tiny town. So they have already enacted laws to prohibit the sale of alcohol within a certain distance from their mosques. They're also having calls to prayer that are very loud, some of them starting at 6 a.m. in the morning. And as one lady said, look, I've got no fight with these people, but they're doing this for a reason. They're pushing this into our faces. And that's precisely what they're doing. They say, I don't know why people keep putting religion into politics. Well, they're putting their religion into the zoning laws. They're telling people you cannot buy alcohol in this area, whatever else they want to do. That is the beginning of it. When we come back in the next hour, we're going to talk to a pastor to help us get some discernment as to what's really going on here in this clash of cultures. We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host on this Sunday, November 22nd, 2015. As I was just pointing out in the last segment, the Washington Post ran an article about the first Muslim majority-run U.S. city, the first one to have a majority Muslim city council. This city is Hamtramck, just outside of Detroit. And they talked to the mayor, who herself, her family came from Poland in the early 20th century. Most of the people who were there previously were Polish Catholics. And she said, people are constantly coming by. They're concerned about what's happening to their community. It is fundamentally changing. It goes with this article that we see on Breitbart. Majority of Americans feel like strangers in their own country. They say whatever failings there may be in his specific policies, Donald Trump's campaign has tapped into a strong, visceral feeling of millions of Americans. Seeking to destroy Trump the candidate may further alienate Republicans in the party, the mainstream party, from a rapidly growing block of voters. And they point out that 58% of Americans say they don't identify with what America has become. Wait until they bring in millions of refugees, and those are going to be anchor refugees who will, even if they're not violent extremists, they will bring in their families, their children. They will essentially become anchor men, not anchor babies, but anchor men to bring in an extended family. It is going to multiply very, very rapidly. You will not recognize America. If you think it looks strange now, if 58% of the people feel that way, wait till you see what happens if Obama is allowed to bring in a massive wave of migrants. Now, they point out that even 45% of Democrats share this feeling. It's 58% of Americans overall, but 45% of Democrats who say that they don't feel at home in America. It feels strange to them. And they say the point of this, the reasons for their alienation are cultural and economic. Let's talk about the cultural issues here, because that's precisely what's going on in this city where the majority of people have elected Muslim leadership there. And the majority of the people now are Muslims. Now, this mayor, Majewski, who her family came from Poland, she's talking about the fact that they have now enacted laws that would prohibit getting liquor licenses within a certain distance of mosques. They also are allowing the mosque to have a loud issue call to prayers. They have the prayers are put over loudspeakers 5 times a day. The first time begins at 6 a.m. in the morning. And she says, you know, it's about culture. It's about what kind of place Hamtramck will become. There's definitely a fear, and to some degree, I share it. And then they talk about this 28-year-old immigrant from Yemen, typical of the migrants that Obama wants to bring in, just got elected. He says, I don't know why people keep putting religion into politics. Well, they put it, their religion, into the zoning laws. And they point out that the Polish Catholic population has shrunk from 90% of this small town in 1970 to 11% today. And one of the mosque leaders said this, in case you think we're being paranoid, in case you think we're being xenophobic, this is what one of the mosque leaders said, according to the Washington Post. He said, the Polish people here think we are invading them. We were a big threat to their religion and culture. Now their days are gone. You understand that? Now their days are gone. They see themselves here to replace us. And I'm reminded of what Bobby Jindal said. I think it was his best contribution to the campaign when he said, immigration without assimilation is invasion. The people who are being brought in here, whether they're refugees, whether they're jihadis, whether they are coming here for economic reasons, whether they are part of a cultural invasion that is deliberate to turn America into an Islamic culture, they are very clear that they don't want to assimilate. And if you come here without an intention of assimilating, if you come here to set up a different culture in opposition to the existing culture, that is quite simply an invasion. Now, is it unchristian to say that? Is it racist to say that? We're going to talk to a pastor in the next segment, Daryl Rundis, who had a video that I think rightly breaks this down. He's going to explain to us what discretion is, and he's going to address people who say this is racist. We'll be right back with that pastor.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host today. Joining us now is Daryl Rundis. Mr. Rundis is a pastor in the Dallas area. His bio here says he was a non-Christian for most of his life. He's not only one of the world's oldest living survivors of a particular disease, Hirschsprung's disease, he's also founder of the world's largest newspaper circulation, sales, and marketing firm, Circulation Promotions Unlimited. He's an entrepreneur, a self-made millionaire, and a Christian pastor. And he had a video that went viral addressing the criticisms that many people had when we say, well, we're not really sure that we want you to bring in all of these migrant refugees from the war that we are funding, the war that we started. We don't think that's the right way to handle it. And we're told then that we are racist, that we're not Christian. He had a great video, and we want to talk to him about his comments that he made on that video, as well as later in the hour, we'll take your calls on that particular topic if you want to ask him questions, especially if you think that it is racist not to open our borders and let everyone come in. Joining us now is Daryl Rundis. Welcome, Daryl.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for coming.
After that intro, I can't wait to hear what I'm going to say.
Well, that's good. I should also say your website is prayerstop.org. Tell us what you said on your video that got so many people so upset, that got passed around so many times.
Definitely. And before I get started, I just have to say, for those that can see the stream live, you know, as a Christian, I always go by what God's word said. That's my authority. And while I know there's many listeners or people watching tonight who aren't Christians, in fact, you know, I brought a little Bible to illustrate here. You know, they look at the Bible and they don't see a thing, right? But there's a lot of fans of Jesus out there, well-intending ones that aren't truly followers of Jesus, and they read the Bible because they know they should, and they don't see anything. I mean, it's just boring, drab, and dry. But the true Christian, you know, they read the Bible. It's God's word. It's their authority, and it comes into life in living color. So I do that because, you know, once again, I don't care what you think about Christians or the Bible, but that's, we're going to talk a lot about what the Bible says tonight. And no matter what you think, you know, it's been tried and true and proven. There's lots of wisdom to be found in its pages. So with that said, let me just put it to you like this. I did a video that said, love your enemies, you know, because you hear a lot of people say, well, we've got to love these poor orphans and widows, and we've got to take care of them. We got to let these refugees in. It's unloving, you know, to call yourself a Christian and not help these people. And so it caused me to go a little deeper in God's word and start to look up, you know, what does it really mean to love your enemies? What did Jesus do? You know, it's not enough to say, what would he do? You know, that leaves it open for speculation. You go to God's word, you start to read, and what you discover, first and foremost, and I think what was most controversial, is I defined the word enemy. And if you go to any concordance and you look at the word enemy as used by Jesus in love your enemies, or as James puts it, to, you know, anybody that's friends with the world makes themselves an enemy of God and so on. What you discover is that word enemy doesn't mean someone you're at battle with, or somebody that wants to kill you or cut your head off, or that wants to rape your women or marry your, you know, 11-year-old daughter. What it means are people that are in enmity with God through their wicked works. In other words, sinners, people that are lost, that have rejected Jesus, God, the Bible, etc. So nowhere in the Bible will you ever see Jesus purposely put himself or others in harm's way in order to call, you know, to go help other people or to fulfill his ministry. In fact, I would challenge anybody, Christian or not, to go through scripture and see in John 6, 7, 8, and 9, there's several examples where the Jews hated the things Jesus had just mentioned to them, called them sons of hell, brood of vipers, hypocrites, and so on. They got so angry with him, David, they wanted to kill him. Right. And I think that seems very similar to kind of what we're dealing with today. And yet over and over, what we see is an example where it says Jesus no longer walked amongst the Jews because he knew they sought to kill him. So he purposely avoided putting himself or even others in harm's way in order to do good.
And, you know, Daryl, I think that's a lesson even for people who aren't Christians when they look at this. When I look at, there's a lot of people out there, especially in the liberal institutions and in Europe, who I see them as pushing this in a way, saying you have to be, you're intolerant if you don't bring all these people in. But what they're going to do in the name of political correctness, in the name of tolerance, is to create and establish a completely intolerant society. Wherever Islam has set up, they're completely intolerant of everyone else. It is the most intolerant of all the cultures, of all the religions, of any differences in it. And so that's, to me, is the irony. I see self-loathing liberals who want to...
We see with other people who, you know, whether it be same-sex marriage or the LGBT community, and they attack Christians, calling them intolerant and bigots and unloving and so on. They love to call them names. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes to these refugees, I'm not saying, hey, we shouldn't love them, we shouldn't take care of them, we shouldn't help them. I mean, the truth of the matter is, America, because it was founded in Judeo-Christian concepts and beliefs, has done far more in the way of helping others than any other country, than probably all of the other countries combined. And so for anybody to say we're being unloving, unkind, because we want to also love others as we love ourselves and not put them in harm's way, is just hypocrisy. In fact, Paul talks in Romans 12 about when you love, don't love with hypocrisy. Now, most people read that and think, well, that means if I say, David, I love you, I care about you, and then I go talk bad about you behind your back, or I make promises to you that I'll help you, and then I don't, that would be love with hypocrisy, right? But if you really, you know, and it does mean that as well, but if you look at it even deeper, love with hypocrisy, since love does no harm to its neighbor, would be like me saying, I want to minister to, which I commonly do, to, let's say, some pedophile. And he's a known pedophile. He's hurt many children, but I don't want to offend the guy. I don't want to, you know, call him a pedophile. I don't want to tell other people he's a pedophile, but I love him and I care for him. So I want to minister to him. I want to help him. I want to feed him. Well, if I invite him into my home and I put my own wife and kids in harm's way in order to try to love him, that would be love with hypocrisy. I'm charged by God, first and foremost, to be the provider and the protector of my own wife and kids. And if I love my neighbor as I love myself, I'm not purposely going to put them in harm's way in order to go do good for someone else and then call that love. That's not love. That's called vanity. That's people trying to do good works to impress God or to impress their neighbors while giving no regard to the welfare of other people that it may harm.
That's a great analogy, saying that you're going to help someone who's a pedophile to try to overcome this. But of course, in doing that, you're going to bring them into your home, putting your family, your children at risk at the same time. Perfect analogy. You know, Daryl, when we look at this, and of course, I want to play a clip from Hillary Clinton. It's a short clip. She's very well acquainted with Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. And rule number 4 is to make the enemy live up to his rule book. That's why you're seeing people coming out of the woodwork saying these Christians are being unchristian when they don't want to do what we say is the only solution. They only offer you one solution. That's another tactic. Give you one solution, and that has to be the only way to deal with the problem, which in most cases they created. Let's play Clinton's comments real quick, and I'll get your comments on that when we come back.
It's important that we don't listen to the voices, including those coming from Republican candidates for president, who would paint with such a broad brush, would want us to somehow isolate, register Muslims, go after Islam. Our enemy are these criminal killers who misuse a religion in order to recruit people and give them the training to go out and kill more people. We know how to vet refugees. We've been doing it for years.
Oh, really?
And it takes a long time. I will make sure that we are absolutely vigilant in how we vet any refugees. And we will not be allowing people in who, if anyone thinks at all, they could cause us a problem. I will rely on the defense and the intelligence experts to do that. We don't want to enhance the recruitment of ISIS and the others by acting like we're going to shut our borders, because that validates them. And that then creates more opportunity, unfortunately, to pull in vulnerable people.
I don't know really how closing the borders and saying we're not going to bring in people really validates them. And of course, when we come back, I want to get your comments on that, Daryl, what she just had to say. Of course, how are we going to vet them? These people who came in that were part of the terrorist attacks in Paris, they were watched for quite a long time. They didn't vet them. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host, and we have on the line with us Daryl Rundis. He is a pastor from Dallas who put out a video directly addressing the claims by many people that not accepting endless numbers of Muslim migrants that are not going to be vetted out of these war-torn areas is somehow lacking in compassion. It's unchristian. It's racist. And so he put out a video addressing that very issue. Now, if you don't agree with that, we want to take your calls and put you at the very front of the list. We're going to take calls from people who want to comment about that, who have questions about what a Christian should do or what a non-Christian should do. Let's take your calls. That's 877-789-2539. It's a different number on Sundays. Again, that's 877-789-ALEX. And we will take your calls on this topic alone, especially if you disagree, especially if you think that we ought to open the borders and bring people in, that failing to do that is lacking Christian compassion or lacking even secular compassion, that it is racist not to do that. We just heard from Hillary Clinton. She was saying that we're going to vet these people. And of course, that isn't really the case, is it? As we know from a Reuters article that just came out today, they say authorities missed many red flags before the Paris shootings. They go through many of these red flags that were missed. They said there are multiple chances to stop the men who attacked Paris. Yet during questioning in Belgium, many of these people that they knew that they had Islamic State sympathies, they thought they had connections to Syria, so they brought them in for questioning. And when they brought them in, they said, no, we are not the droid you're looking for. And so they let them go. That's how they vet them. How else are they going to vet them? They don't have a database of these people in those countries. They don't know who is who. And most of these people that are coming in are single men between the ages of 25 and 35, military age jihadis, people who rightfully are probably upset about the fact that we have fomented rebellion and invasion in their countries. And yet we're told the solution is not to stop Saudi Arabia from attacking and funding these surrogates or directly attacking Yemen. Have you heard anybody complaining about the refugees out of Yemen, the humanitarian crisis there? No, of course not. Because Saudi Arabia is our ally. We're not allowed to criticize Saudi Arabia. We're also not allowed to say the Saudis ought to take these refugees. That's what Rand Paul and others have said. Have these people step up to the plate and let them take some of these refugees that they're creating with their foreign policy along with us. Now, I want to go back to Daryl and get his comments on what Hillary Clinton just said. Before I do, real quickly, I want to let you know about sales that we have today and sales that are coming up at InfoWarsLife.com. Right now, today, we have a sale on Knockout, 15% off while supplies last. Knockout includes valerian root extract, melatonin, chamomile flower extract, hops flower extract, L-tryptophan, and many other key ingredients to help you, to assist you to fall asleep naturally. And again, that is 15% off. You can find that at InfoWarsLife.com. We're going to be offering specials throughout this week leading up to Thanksgiving. We're going to have a lot of limited time specials. Every day we'll have a different special. There'll be a limited amount of time. There'll also be a limited quantity that will be available there as long as supplies last. In most cases, it will be there, but there are going to be incredibly large discounts running up this week. We'll be announcing them each day. If you want to be at the front of the list when the sales come out, subscribe to our newsletter and you'll know right there what things are going to be on sale. That particular day, you'll be the first one to know what's going to be on sale. Of course, these are going to be things that could be used as stocking stuffers, little novelty items with InfoWars name on it, or it'd also be some serious prepper items as well as health supplements that are on our stores. You'll be able to see what's going on at InfoWarsStore.com. And also we have the classic store design still up. That is store.infowars.com if you want to go back to the browsing experience that you've had in the past. But again, watch this week, and we're going to have specials on a daily basis. And right now, we do have a special on Knockout that's been going for a couple of days that will probably not be going that much longer. Knockout 15% off at InfoWarsLife.com. Now we'll go back to Daryl Rundis. Daryl Rundis is a pastor who had a video that went viral talking about the issue of whether or not we should open our doors to unlimited amounts of migrants. Do they represent a danger to us? How do we handle this as Christians? What are we called to do? Is this something that we're doing that endangers us, endangers our families? Is this the wisest way? Is it the only way to handle this? Darren, your comments on what Hillary Clinton just said in that clip we played in the last segment.
It's hard getting through that whole clip without wanting to scream at the top of your lungs, isn't it? I tell you what. No, I would just say, if you believe that, I got a bridge I want to sell you. I mean, we all know this. That's coming from a lady who lied about Benghazi and blamed it on a video. So, you know, if that's the person they want to trust, I mean, we all know that a politician's lying because their lips are moving. I mean,
she wants to say that she's experienced in foreign policy, but she doesn't want to talk about the success or failure of those experiences. Yeah, she's got a lot of experience. She's got a lot of failed experiences in foreign policy that she doesn't want you to see. She also doesn't seem to care at all about the religion of the secular state right now, which is national security. I mean, here she is. She is a national security heretic, I guess you could say, Daryl, because even though this is used to justify every invasion on our individual liberties, the security state was completely ignored by Hillary Clinton as she set up her own parallel unsecured emails discussing things that were born classified, discussions that she had with foreign leaders. But I want to take some calls from people, but as we're waiting for that, it's 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-ALEX if you want to talk to us about what the issues are here. Tell us again what you think is the right way for Christians to handle this.
Well, I just want to kind of go back to Hillary real quick. You know, I would just challenge her as I did everybody in the video. Like, if helping these refugees without putting other people's in harm's way, without bringing them in here and taking that chance, you know, if that's not good enough for you, then call your congressman, call up Hillary, or in fact, since she wants to be president, why don't she lead by example and just, you know, vet these people however she thinks she can vet them, which I still don't know how they would do that. But even if she was able to vet them and then have them come stay with her and Bill, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you really love them that much, just bring them on into your house and then let them live with you. And you can be responsible for them and you can take care of them. You can spend the money to feed them and house them and all those other things. Why impose your will on other people under the name of love and of goodness? I don't ever see that happen. In fact, unlike the Quran, unlike Islam, which teaches, you know, hate your enemies, hate the Christian, hate the Jew. In fact, here's a quote from you, right straight from the Quran. I guess it's in 8:2. It says, "I'll cast terror into the hearts of those that disbelieve. Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip from them." Now, nowhere in the Bible are you ever going to find Jesus say, "Kill those that don't convert." I mean, it's just the way it is. And so those people that want to, like Hillary, say, we're being wicked, we're being evil, we're being mean, we're being intolerant, unloving, unkind, well, I tell them just put their money where their mouth is. You know, once you put your own actions, let them speak louder than your words and, you know, go take care of them yourself. Why don't you just go over to Syria and do the job you should have done in the first place when you were Secretary of State?
And you issued that challenge to people. You said, if you think you can do a better job, why don't you go there? We'll talk about that. And when we come back, we'll also take callers' questions for Daryl Rundis. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and joining us now is Daryl Rundis. He's a pastor out of the Dallas area. And, of course, he responded to criticisms of the left, for the most part, Democrats, who were saying that it was unchristian to not want to bring in as many migrants out of the Syrian war. Of course, nobody ever mentions the Yemen war because that's our ally, Saudi Arabia, who is directly attacking Yemen there. But it's all about Syria. And as we pointed out, they always want you to focus on their solution once they create a problem. You know, we were told when it came to guns this last week, we had a massive media move to get people to be afraid of the ability of people who are on a government watch list to be able to buy guns, even with background checks by the FBI. So Fox News and many other outlets put this out there and told us, be very afraid. We've got people who are terrorists who are out there possibly buying guns. Well, not exactly. I think you need to be more afraid of a government that creates secret lists of people than you need to be afraid of people who can pass background checks from the FBI who get their weapons legally. So in the same vein, I think we need to be very concerned about what's going on with this phony solution, not addressing the root cause, I believe, because this is really a tactic of Saul Alinsky. And of course, Hillary Clinton did her senior thesis on this at Wellesley. She did a 92-page thesis on Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. Number four is make the enemy live up to his own rule book. So that's what's behind the criticism of Christians who say this is not a wise, discerning policy to bring in people. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they're coming from. We don't know what their agenda is. This is not the way to handle this. I want to go now, Daryl, to take some calls. We've got several people who have called in here. I asked the people who disagree with us on this to call. Told them we'll put them at the top of the line. Again, that number is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-ALEX. Let's go to Habu in Wisconsin. Habu?
Yes, hello. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the courtesy. And it's very nice to talk to you. And I'll get to my point right away. InfoWars, more than any other news outlet, has applied a full-court press to all the machinations that the United States has done in Syria, Libya, Iraq, etc. And so what you are exposing by this news coverage that is how we have wrecked those countries.
Yes.
Now, if I have to agree with InfoWars that you can't have a nation with open borders, going into infinity. A nation is only complete when its borders are secure, among many other things. But that is one of the main tenets. And, everybody and their uncle from China, and I'm not particularly picking out any race or nationality, but people from nations, areas not even affected by the United States directly, are coming in here for a free ride.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, those people who have been actually hurt by the doings of the United States government and its armed forces in particular, are being denied this ability to come here. I'm not saying for Iraq's entire population to come here, but those who've been completely compromised, there's no infrastructure left. One other thing, sir, that constitution that the U.S. force-fed down the Iraqi people's throats is at the heart of this problem because it has marginalized the Sunni sect, and that is who is into ISIS. So just 2 points then, and thank you very much for the courtesy.
Oh, I agree. Thank you very much. That's a very courteous call. And I would say that when we look at the Iraq War, we look at that invasion, it was absolutely the wrong thing to do. It was a horrible thing to do. And what I see happening now is instead of correcting the first mistake, our government will always create a second or a third or a fourth mistake. They will now invade the United States with people in order to try to solve that problem. I don't think that's the right solution. I'll go to Daryl in just a moment. My concern is that you don't see Saudi Arabia or any of the Arab states, as I mentioned earlier, that we know are supporting this situation in Syria, this war, this manufactured war in Syria. I would like to see people who are concerned, as you are, Habu, we need to try to make people understand the way to stop this is to address the root cause, to address this war that we have started, that we continue to fund, along with our Arab allies. And in the same way, many of the people who are fleeing from the war situation in Mexico, and understand that is a huge war. There's been more people that have died in the drug war in Mexico than have died in Afghanistan. They're fleeing here because of a war that we began. The war on drugs. And rather than erect massive walls, rather than create a police state, rather than give everybody a government identity card with biometric ID on it so we can see who's who, I want us to stop the root cause of that, which is this war on drugs that we have. That is the plague of Central and South America, along with the socialism that people have embraced there. People, not everything is imposed upon them. Some of these horrible things are of their own making because they have embraced socialism and other things as we are perhaps on the verge of embracing. Let me get your comments on that, Daryl.
Well, I would just say, to the caller and to what you were just speaking to is that no one's saying we shouldn't help these people. I agree. I mean, we got involved in the Middle East and did some things that just are horrific. And we did them for all the wrong reasons, very political. Really, probably the end result, as the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. So we know when these big contractors in the Middle East, like Kellogg Brown and Root and, you know, Halliburton and people like that, get these no bid cost plus contracts, you know, we know where their motive is. We know where their heart is. But no one's saying we shouldn't help these poor people. What we're saying is we can't vet them. And they come from an area that headquarters an organization by the name of ISIS that wants to do death and destruction and kill people. And I would just, anybody that says we're not being wise, we're not being loving, we're not being kind by wanting these people to be helped but not actually put other people at harm's way, I would just once again say, well, which of you would put your own family, your own kids in harm's way in order to try to help someone else and then call that love? I mean, if somebody came up to you or your kids and wanted to do harm to your kids because they thought they were helping someone else, would you consider that to be loving? And of course you wouldn't. So
exactly. You're talking about the love of money being the root of all evil. I guess we could be a little bit more specific about that now. We could say the love of the petrodollar has been the root of all of these Middle Eastern wars that we've seen, because that's why they give them a free pass on this. I'm looking at this article again from Michael Krieger about a 2008, references a 2008 U.S. Army-funded RAND report. It says the economies of the industrialized states will continue to rely heavily on oil, making it strategically important. So the U.S. has a motive for maintaining stability in and good relations with Middle Eastern states. Well, actually, they don't have a motive for maintaining stability. They want to destabilize them. And if we understand that, as you just pointed out, there are ways to help rather than bringing in people who we don't know who these people are and could quite possibly be enemy combatants, there are other better ways that we could help the people. Even though we did create this situation, I think we need to be wise now about how we try to bring this down for both their benefit and for our benefit. Many people have suggested, as Trump had, let's carve out a safe area in that country, in Syria or in an adjacent country. Let's carve that out. Let's guard that and create a safe haven for people where we can care for them until we get this war situation stopped. But of course, we understand.
What you're trying to say is, let's create a place of refuge for refugees.
Exactly. Exactly. Rather than just indiscriminately bringing them in, because we know that the people who have started this war over there, just like the people who have are advocating bringing them in, they want to create order out of chaos. They want to bring down society so they can put in place the dictators in the Middle Eastern countries that they want, force feed the Constitution, as this caller was just talking about, force feed that on the Iraqis, put in their own leaders. They want to do the same thing here. One of the things that they have to do, of course, is to destroy the country so they can rebuild it into the kind of situation that they want. When we come back, we're going to take some more of your calls. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Daryl Rundis.
This is our land. These are our people. The workers. The strivers. The builders. These are our people. Who are they? They are the dark armies. The dark, murdering armies whose only honor is atrocity.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. We have joining us today Daryl Rundis, who is a pastor out of the Dallas area. Of course, as we've mentioned before, make the enemy live up to his rule book. That is one of the rules for radicals from Saul Alinsky. There's been a lot of talk by the people who are advocating bringing in migrants who we all know cannot be vetted out of a war-torn area, an area where they rightfully are upset with the United States because they, as well as many of us, know that we started this war, we funded this war. What do we do, though, as Christians? What should our response be? Should it be to bring everyone into this area to help them, or can we help them in some other way? Can we stop the war? Can we help them in place? We want to take your calls for those of you who disagree with us, who think that we should bring them in. We're going to go to those calls and try to get through them as quickly as possible. Real quickly, before we do, I just want to let you know that Deep Cleanse is back at InfoWarsLife.com. Also, we have Knockout at 15% off at InfoWarsLife.com. We're going to be having specials throughout this week. We're going to have daily surprise sales of our hottest items. We're going to be unveiling some new and exciting items. We're going to have things anywhere from stocking stuffers to serious prepper items to health supplements. You can find those at InfoWarsStore.com this week. We're going to be announcing them on the radio program on a daily basis. That's our new online store with new features. If you like the classic online store experience that you've had in the past, you can still get that at store.infowars.com. Now, these are going to be up for a limited time. Of course, there'll be a limited quantity as well. If you want to know about these daily sales that we're going to be doing on each day this upcoming week, if you want to know about that first, you can sign up for our free newsletter. That will let you know what's going to be on sale at InfoWarsLife.com as well as InfoWarsStore.com. Let's go to the calls. Let's go to the next one here that you say you think that we should bring the immigrants in. This is Sal in Connecticut. Go ahead, Sal. Oh, we did lose Sal. Okay, sorry. Let's go to John in Houston. John. Hello, John.
We know in the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. And I hope, Pastor Darrell, you have a 1,000-member church there. I really do. Everything you guys say is totally accurate. You know, it really is. It's totally accurate. It's precise. It's true. And I had a guy tell me today that I was not a Christian because I said if I was the governor, I'd say we can't bring the terrorists in here. Okay, but a Christian who swears an oath to the Constitution is obligated, as much as he feels sorry for people and as much as he knows that we hit the wrong stinking country. Iraq, you know, was not the guilty ones. It was Saudi Arabia, but still we have an obligation to protect our people. And really, Obama should be, we should bypass the impeachment thing and just go ahead and arrest him and say, look, we are not going to take terrorists. Because as Christians, we believe that Jesus, you know, said what he said. We are to love our enemies. We're not supposed to, you know, kill them and then get rewarded for killing your enemies. The Muslims, you know, they do say in their book that you are rewarded with 72 blushing virgins if you kill people. It says that.
I agree. I agree with you. I think that the Iraq invasion, especially as we look at it today with the advantage of hindsight, it was idiotic. It was immoral. I think it is also idiotic to say that we are going to invade the United States with people that we can't vet. Your comments, Pastor Rundis.
I just concur, obviously. Any Christian that's really sought the answers or seeks the truth, they're going to come to the same revelation. In fact, I know we're running out of time, so I'm just going to leave everybody with a passage from Paul in Ephesians 5 that speaks to this very issue, and it's just simply starts with verse 11, says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it's shameful to even speak of the things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, and this is great for people that listen to InfoWars, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And I think nothing could be clearer. It's not the will of God for you to put other people or your own lives in harm's way to go try to help someone else and then call that love. That's hypocrisy. That's not love at all.
Yes. Let's go to Matthew in San Diego. Matthew, go ahead.
David Knight, good to talk to you, sir.
Thank you for calling.
I have a lot to say. Yeah, thank you. I have a lot to say on this the subject, but to make it quick, really, we've got governors all across the country right now that are, some of them are standing up and saying, no, unless we can properly vet these people, they can't come to our state. And that's what it really comes down to. I was just having an argument last night. Somebody's like, oh, well, the president should just go ahead and this, that, and the other. No, the president does not run the country. the people run the country. We tell the state capitals what we want, then they go to Congress, and then they make it happen. So that's what it comes down to, is the state taking control. And then let's say you, if you're a Christian and you're living in a state where you feel, oh, great, my governor is now going to put me and my family in danger. Let's have a mass exodus, moving to states where they are going to protect you. I've been my last year to get my journeyman plumber certification. I've got family in Texas. I'm moving out of California, and I'm going to Texas because at least some people there, in my opinion, still have some common sense, you know?
Yes. I think the governor is has been right on an amazing number of issues. I'm very happy so far with most of the things I've seen Governor Abbott do. And, of course, when I see people criticize that, Matthew, and say that you have to do what Obama says, we have to understand these are executive orders. They're not laws, and he doesn't have that power under the Constitution. So it is the rightful position of the state governors to interpose themselves when we've got an executive who thinks that he has the right to dictate things to us by executive order. It's the rightful thing for them to interpose themselves to nullify that. That's what the Kentucky resolutions were about 217 years ago. We've still been having that discussion. But clearly, if we allow all power to be concentrated in one body of men or in one man in Washington, we are inviting tyranny. Everybody should be concerned about that. And even people on the left need to understand that the only reason that these states could legalize marijuana in Washington, Oregon, other places, is Colorado, is because they have the right to do that under the Constitution. And the federal government has been reluctant to do anything about that. That's why I think they have modified their position on just that one drug, because they realize the entire war on drugs, the entire prohibition is unconstitutional. They never passed an amendment like they did with alcohol. And whether or not you agree that the government ought to beat the heads in of people who are on a self-destructive binge, I don't. I don't think that we should. I don't think that our God is so small that we need to have government beat people into doing the right thing. But whether you agree with that or not, at least follow the law. At least pass an amendment to the Constitution like they did with alcohol. Your comments, Daryl?
No, I would just completely agree, especially with the war on drugs. We don't go arrest. In fact, I never saw Jesus arrest anybody or call for their arrest because they were a drunkard. Right. So these people may need help. They may have addiction issues and so on. But to lock them up, ruin their lives, ruin their families' lives, it's the decay of society. And it's not just the drug use as much as it is the repercussions of being thrown in jail and having that on their record for the rest of their lives.
Exactly. So, they get a long mandatory minimum and then they can't get a job once they get out. It corrupts government. It destroys the rule of law in so many different ways. But I think it's important.
I want to interject one last thought, because I know we're running out of time. If anybody wants to go see the original video, I would just encourage them to go to Facebook.com/prayerstop. We've got it pinned at the top. You can watch the video, make comments. We actually are one of those rare pages that actually reads all the comments and responds to them as best we can. So,
okay, good. We've been showing that on the monitor for people watching the video. And also, is there a link to that at your website, prayerstop.org?
Actually, I don't think there's a link on our website. That's why I wanted to go ahead and just kind of plug the
So they'll need to see that at Facebook. Page. Okay, good.
They can see it on the YouTube, you know, Prayer Stop YouTube channel as well.
Okay, good. Let's get try to get another caller in. Let's go to Frank in North Carolina. Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with what all the callers have said so far, and I would go a little bit further, though. Diversity by those who are pushing it as an agenda is code for white genocide, and for a guy like me who wants to preserve my culture, my DNA, my race, that's not evil. And we need to take a good long look at anyone who is pushing propaganda that is evil. It's misguided. It's basically, at the very least, a result of misguided long-term social engineering.
We're out of time, Frank. Yeah, I agree. We need to look very carefully from when people are selling us intolerance and calling it tolerance. Thank you so much for joining us, Daryl Rundis, prayerstop.org. That's it for today. Join us tomorrow at 11 a.m.